Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to a fresh new episode of Phillies Today as we move through the beginning of the offseason, the hot stove part of Major League Baseball, as we sit here on Monday, November 13th. But continuing through the offseason, we go. And I want to start with a report from Buster Olney, basically saying, countering what Mark Fison reported a few days prior, that the Phillies were going to they were looking to put Nick Castellanos on the trade block. And so Buster Olney puts out a report. This was, I think, 3 days ago, saying that the Phillies aren't interested in moving Nick Castellanos. They consider him an important part of the team and value his production and have no intention of trading him. I tend to believe Buster Olney's report more than I do Fison's. And maybe this is because I'm more for not trading Nick Castellanos, but regardless, it makes more sense. Castellanos, they signed him to a big deal. In the second year of his big deal, he was productive, especially offensively, and that's what they expected out of him. They expected him to put up big numbers offensively, and that's what he did for the most part last year with the 29 home runs and the OPS above league average. So, and he had still had relatively good numbers in the postseason. So I tend to believe Buster Olney's report more than I do the Mark Fison report. I don't want to get too much into this because you guys already know my thoughts on potentially trading Nick Castellanos. I did that last episode. If you do want to hear those thoughts, you can listen to the last episode that I did on Thursday. But for this episode, I'm going to move off of that. I just wanted to put that out there. Buster Olney, ESPN's Major League Baseball reporter, saying that the Phillies aren't interested in moving Castellanos. And it, once again, the quote, consider him an important part of the team, value his production, and have no intention of trading him. Who knows what to believe? I think Mark Fison's a good reporter. He's a well-respected reporter, so I'm not sure, but this report comes out from Buster Olney, and the Phillies still think the best option is to not move him. But again, if you want to hear more extended thoughts on that, go listen to the last episode I did about 4 days ago. So off of that, besides that, there's nothing really to update you on. A couple of things, I guess, that are newsworthy. Bryce Harper wins his third Silver Slugger of his career, last one coming in 2021 when he won his second Most Valuable Player award and his first as a Philadelphia Philly. But Harper wins a Silver Slugger, and I'm going to be honest, like, the first thought was, why, how? And I guess the other names that were thrown out there, and shout out to Eric Lambera, who tweeted me and said that, you know, JD Martinez is another name out there, but he didn't play, or he was hurt, but he had a good season, and I could see that comparison. But I forgot about Marcelo Ozuna. Marcelo Ozuna played almost, I think, 140 games as a DH to Bryce Harper's 89. And Ozuna had 40 homers and 100 RBIs and had a great OPS. So I don't know if they're factoring in off the field stuff and they're factoring in that Bryce is, you know, Mr., you know, one of the faces of baseball. Because apparently that's got to factor into it, because I think Ozuna should have won Silver Slugger as a DH. Doesn't really make any sense. But regardless, like, you know, Bryce Harper still had a good season at the plate coming off the injury, and the second half he had power-wise, very good. But I didn't think he really deserved that Silver Slugger, but congrats to him anyway. And so Bryce Harper wins Silver Slugger. Another thing to update you on recently, Oliver Dunn, named, he's a Phillies minor league player, was named Arizona Fall League Breakout Player of the Year. He's a 26 years old, Rule 5 pick from 2022, taken from the New York Yankees. And he led the Phillies organization with a 148 WRC, weighted runs created plus, during the regular season for a double-A Redding. Had a really good year. Handled three infield positions, finished perfect in stolen base attempts, going 12 for 12, and ranked second in triples with four, fourth in OPS at 1.071, and fifth in batting average at 342. So he is Arizona Fall League's breakout player of the year, where he hit, and this is according to Baseball Reference, at 343, 455 on base, 616 slugging, like the OPS I mentioned. And in Redding this year, 21 homers, 271 average, 396 on base, 506 slugging, 902 OPS, 211 total bases. So Oliver Dunn winning Arizona Fall League Player of the Year, and also having a really good year in Redding in 119 games, like those games that I had just mentioned. So Oliver Dunn, somebody, I guess, to look out for going forward. I'm not sure. He's not in like the top 30 Phillies prospects or anything, at least from what I read on their website. He's not there, but congrats, Oliver Dunn, winning Arizona Fall League Breakout Player of the Year, as he has a really good Arizona Fall League in 19 games, putting up really stellar numbers. So again, congrats to Oliver Dunn in the Arizona Fall League. So let's, next segment. So let's go to underappreciated Phillies. Like I've done, I started this, I guess this time last week, I think it was Monday of last week, where started this segment and talked about Scott Rolen was the first underappreciated Philly. I still feel like he's underappreciated just because of, you know, some of the comments that he made and in the past about St. Louis being baseball heaven, and about, you know, the whole rift between him and the Phillies fan base and their relationship, and it might not have been like fantastic. But I think that was a little overblown, like I talked about. But if you want to hear more on that, you can go back to that episode about a week ago where I talked about Scott Rolen being an underappreciated Philly. But let's continue this segment. So coming up at number two, well, not number two, but the second player I'm doing here, and I think this is attributed to some of the Phillies, you know, their bad and mediocre years from early 2010s to up until 2021. Then that was their last, I guess, mediocre-ish season. Hector Neris. I can't believe I said his name like that. Neris. I guess either way, but I'm pretty sure it's Neris. Hector Neris. Second player I'm doing here as an underappreciated Philly. 2014 to 2021 was his tenure with the Phils. In 8 years with the Phillies, 3.42 ERA. That's good for a 1.24 ERA plus. He pitched over 400 innings and 11.5 strikeouts per nine innings, and 84 saves through those 8 years. He was not a steady closer for the Phillies. Yes, there were, you know, some reasons for that. He wasn't super duper consistent as a closer, but regardless, he was a very good reliever. He was a good reliever in the years where the Phillies had some bad bullpens. Especially in those like 2018, 2019, 2020, 2021. Like those years where the Phillies had some bad bullpens in, you know, the late 2010s and the early 2020s so far. And Neris was a good reliever. He was like the standout reliever from these teams, and I never thought that, you know, he fully got, and it might have been because of his personality, and I totally understand that, but I thought he was a very good reliever in those years that the Phillies just, you know, you had those a lot. I mean, I can go with a bunch of those names from those late 2010s teams or whatnot. Before you get your Alvarados. I mean, Sir Anthony was there too, but Sir Anthony was hurt. But again, like Nerys was not, like Nerys was a, he was putting up consistently good numbers, save for a few years. I think there was like the 2020 year, again, it was a shortened season, and 2018 where he had an ERA over 5. But save for those years, if you look at his numbers like throughout the other years, like his first full year with the Phillies, like in 2015, 3.79 ERA. 2016, even better, 2.58. 2017, 3.01. 2018 was the bad year. 2019, 2.93 ERA in 67 innings. 2021 is last year, 3.63 ERA, and that was good for an ERA plus of 1.15. So I just thought that Nerys was, in those years, and I get it, because the year the Phillies weren't good or they were mediocre at best, I thought he was a player, an arm that maybe got a little bit of flack because of his personality, but relatively, he was a good reliever overall as a Philly, and I didn't think he maybe got his just due to a certain extent. I think he could have gotten a little more praise from the fan base a little bit throughout those years where he was a guy that was, for the most part, a consistent reliever out of the bullpen. And he was here for a while, too. He was here for 8 years, man. He was here for 8 years. It wasn't like he was here for a couple of years like Papelbon. Papelbon's somebody I've thought about doing for the segment, too. I'm not sure. He was here for a couple of years. All-time saves leader. Just saying. All-time saves leader. But Hector Nerys, for me, an underappreciated Philly. But let me know what you think. Go on Twitter, @Rojas_media_. Tell me what your thoughts are on Hector Nerys. Was he underappreciated? Was he appreciated just as he should have been? Should it have not been, what should have been what it was? It felt like the fan base, to a certain extent, felt like the fan base was split, even kind of like it was for Hoskins for a while and for Nola. And interestingly enough, I think, I guess, was Nerys homegrown to a certain extent? I mean, it doesn't say that he was, I mean, he came up through the minors with the Phillies. So, interesting enough, Hector Nerys was here for a while. So, I would put Nerys as underappreciated with the Phillies. But again, let me know what you think. Let me know what you think. So that's my underappreciated Philly for today. Hector Nerys, 2014 to 2021. Let me know what you think on that. So another new segment. As we're here, you know, going through the offseason, the offseason can get a tiny bit dry at certain times. And right now is one of those times for the most part. No free agents signings happening. No trades to be talked about as of right now. So there's nothing really to talk about hot stove wise, and this is where I like to have a little bit of fun as far as trying to get creative and give you guys some segments that I've thought about, you know, throughout the months, throughout whatever, just trying to get creative at certain points. I'm always trying to be creative, but especially the off season here, I can get creative as far as doing some different segments that I can't do in the regular season because there's so much happening. So today I want to give you guys another new segment. I gave you guys underappreciated Philly last week. This week, let's do remembering a Phillies team. And I want to give you guys teams that, I mean, honestly, I like picking at random, and today it kind of just popped into my mind. The 2019 Phillies. So what I'm going to do here is, and maybe you guys can tell me, like, let me know on Twitter, @Rojas_media_. Give me a team that I want to go through. I want to pick a team, a Phillies team, and basically what I remember from that Phillies team. Like the good, the bad, what I remember the most from each of these Phillies teams. So today I want to do 2019 and talk about what I remember most about the 2019 season. I'll give you guys a couple of things, but just in general, what I remember from that season. So first thing, of course, we all remember it. Bryce Harper being signed here. The offseason and everybody wanting to sign Bryce, and or maybe it was split with Bryce and Machado or signing both. There were the reports that they potentially could try and sign both. I'm happy the way it worked out. I think we're all happy the way it worked out. I think Manny was good for those San Diego teams so far. I think he has become a leader in that clubhouse, even though that clubhouse isn't maybe the best clubhouse in baseball, at least from what the reports are. I still think that was a good signing for them. But Bryce being signed here in 2019, and I just remember the hype. Everyone's so excited when they signed him. It was incredible. It was the biggest story, you know, one of the biggest stories in Philadelphia sports history, honestly. Like, I feel like I'd rank that up there. Philly signing Harper, like, one of the biggest moments and signings in Philadelphia sports history. And so Harper being signed here, obviously number one, that was the biggest thing about that season, the number one thing. Number two, the hype around that team. Because remember, Harper wasn't the only one signed. He wasn't the only big name that was signed and big trade, because there were trades too. But that team was so stacked. So you had Bryce get signed, 13 years, $330 million. Andrew McCutchen, 3 years, $50 million. It was an interesting signing, but it was a big name too, so everyone was excited. David Robertson, who ended up pitching one or two appearances, signed a 2-year, $23 million deal. You get JT in a trade, JT Realmuto, and you traded Jorge Alfaro and Sixto Sanchez to get JT. You got Gene Segura, who was, I believe, was coming off maybe a batting title, maybe not. Regardless, he was a good bat. Gene Segura, trading Segura and a few other guys, and giving up Carlos Santana and J.P. Crawford. But you got Jose Alvarez. So those big names, Segura, Realmuto, Harper, Kutch, Robertson, those guys were big-time names. Like, all of those guys were big-time names. Like, think about it. Kutch won an MVP. David Robertson won a World Series with the Yankees and had been a well-revered reliever in the past. Realmuto, one of the best catchers in baseball. Segura, big bat. Or as far, good contact bat. So, Phillies, the hype around that team was so ridiculous. I remember that. And I was like, all right, let's chill out on the World Series thing. Let's chill out on the World Series, but, like, this should be a playoff team. But then disappointment happened. And it all started with Andrew McCutchen getting hurt in early June against the Padres. It was an ACL tear, I believe. And the team ended up finishing 81-81. They had a good start to that point. They were in first place in the AL East, I believe, until Andrew McCutchen got hurt. And then it was all downhill from there in June and on and second half of the year. And they ended up finishing 81-81. That season, and it was a disappointment. But one of those things I remember from that year was saying, well, they got to fix the pitching. Like Nola, I liked some of the other arms in that rotation, but a lot of them were questionable. Like, Eflin was questionable. He ended up having a decent year, but still, he was not your number two. And then you had Arrieta, and then you had Vince Velasquez. Like, you look at a lot of these names, like, the bullpen wasn't great, like, outside of, like, Neris and Jose Alvarez. And even in Ranger Suarez was in that bullpen. I forgot about that. I don't know if that was his first year with the Phillies, but Ranger Suarez was a part of that bullpen. I think it was. No, 2019 was his first full year, and he was really good. So that the pitching was something that concerned me. I don't think people talked about it enough, and it ended up being a big reason to why the Phillies weren't able to make the playoffs that year, because the offense was still really good. You still had Realmuto, Hoskins, Segura, who didn't have a great first year, but Kutch got hurt. Kingery actually had a good year. Scott Kingery actually had a good year with the Phillies that year. And then Bryce had a good year. You know, 35 homers, 126 OPS plus. He had generally had a good year. Didn't have an MVP season like he had the next year, but he was generally still good. So the last thing there was disappointment with that Phillies team, because the pitching was the reason why the Phillies weren't able to get it done that year in 2019. But still a lot of hype around that season. There was a season that was remembered maybe for the excitement in the beginning, but ended up being disappointment and weren't able to get back to the playoffs till 2022, where we made it to the World Series. But the 2019 team, let me know what your thoughts were on that 2019 Phillies team, what you remember the most about that Phillies team. Is it the Harper signing, or is it more of the disappointment? Give me that. More of the Harper signing, or was a disappointment from the 2019 season? So, remembering a Phillies team, let me know what other seasons I should do coming up this offseason. I'm going to try to do that more of that this offseason, introduce some more of these segments as we go throughout Hot Stove offseason. So, remembering a Phillies team, 2019 today, but let me know what other teams I should do. So, last thing before I get you guys out of here, around Major League Baseball, not a whole lot happening, but a few things happening in the last couple of days. The Houston Astros will be hiring a new manager. I don't know if it's necessarily confirmed that he is the manager, but it sounds like they're hiring bench coach Joe Espada, who spent the last 6 years as a bench coach for the Houston Astros. So he will be following up Dusty Baker, who won a World Series with the Astros a couple of years ago. We all remember that, unfortunately, against the Phillies. But Astros will be hiring Joe Espada, who has spent the last 6 seasons as the bench coach for the Houston Astros. So Joe Espada, the new Astros manager, looks like. Silver Sluggers were also announced, as I told you with Bryce. Bryce won Silver Slugger. William Contreras. Let's go through the National League real quick. Catcher William Contreras, Matt Olson at first base, Luis Arraez with another batting title, hitting .354 on the year at second base, Francisco Lindor, shortstop, Austin Riley, third base, Cody Bellinger, utility, in the outfield, Acuna, Ronald Acuna Jr., Mookie Betts, and Juan Soto. They are your National League winners. The American League winners, DH, of course, Shohei Ohtani, catcher, Adley Rutschman. Also from Baltimore, utility guy Gunnar Henderson, who will probably win Rookie of the Year later today. Yandy Diaz at first base. Marcus Semien, Corey Seager, your second base and shortstop combo from Texas. Rafael Devers from Boston at third base wins it. Kyle Tucker, Julio Rodriguez, and Luis Robert Jr. in the outfield. Those are your Silver Slugger winners from the National League and the American League. And that's pretty much about it. The Rookie of the Year will be announced today. Manager of the Year will be announced tomorrow. Cy Young on Wednesday and MVP on Thursday. So those are some things to watch. Probably not any Phillies winning any of those, but definitely something to watch. So that's going to do it for me today. Francisco Rojas on Phillies today on 94 WIP. Make sure you're tuned in for me, Ben Kenny, Justin Morgenstein. We got you throughout the week on Phillies today as we're going to get you through the offseason, and we're going to get you up until spring training, where I know we're going to be excited for that. So that's going to do it for me, Francisco Rojas. I'll talk to you guys soon.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.